We're starting the book of Titus. When many parallels to the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, Paul, excuse me, setting Titus and Timothy in the apostolic tradition. They might not be the apostles, but they are certainly operating in the office of apostle. There are two main differences in Timothy's mission in Ephesus and Titus's mission in Crete. They are two different societies, but they are very facing very similar opposition, very similar I'm not even sure I'm the word I want to use. Very similar opposition. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. The difference is that Ephesus was a more older, established church, while Crete is a new filled with newer believers. That is why we find in the qualifications in elders the difference between Crete and Ephesus is the fact that there is no mention. Paul does not mention the appointment of novices or young believers. There is no mention of that because most of the church in Crete was a new work. And Titus has more of a battle of the culture of Crete than false teachings or anything like that. Titus is battling the culture. And in that, he is establishing the church on that island. So, also, both the letters addressed to Timothy and the letters addressed to Titus are to be read out loud in the congregations. So Titus is to be reading out loud his marching orders from Paul the Apostle to every city on Crete. And this is something interesting. The churches on Crete, just like the churches in Ephesus, were mostly house churches. And that I'm trying to find it. Anyways, Paul's warning about the the testimony of the churches that, again, they should be blameless and not accused of anything. I'm sorry, I can't find it right now. Anyways, being house churches was one of the reasons why Paul was so critical, was so so focused on the teachings of the elders in each church that an elder or preacher could destroy the reputation of a whole household. And Paul was concerned about that. He instructed Timothy and he instructed Titus to uphold the integrity of leadership and uphold integrity of the opponents in verse 11, he says their mouths must be stopped, who subvert all households, teaching things what they not ought not to, for the sake of dishonest gain. That is one of the pillars of early Christianity. It was basically meeting from house to house. And if falsehood or I'll just leave it at falsehood grabbed a hold, it could destroy. Excuse me. Subvert whole households. And we will see as we go on, that is one of the bases that Paul is exhorting his disciples to keep the reputation and the faithfulness of each household. And if we look and read what he is looking for and who he's telling Titus to look for is one, if a man rules his household, he can rule the household of God. He can order the household of God. And that's mainly the basis for all the requirements for elder. One interesting thing that I hadn't thought about when we were reading the qualifications for elder in Ephesus. nowhere is Paul placing the gifts of the Spirit in the list. He is always after the character of the elder. It is always character and not gifting. Because if there's a strong foundation in character, there is a strong foundation in the Lord. And you got to remember, or you don't have to remember, but in Crete, they were basically kind of wild and unruly, so to speak. It says, even one of their own prophets said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. That's a pretty damning statement coming from somebody on the inside. But that is what Paul or Titus and other workers of the gospel and creed are up against. It is the Cretan culture, not known for any kind of piety, thank you. And basically, the island of Crete was a trading point, port. So you had all kinds of, it was just like Corinth. You had all kinds of philosophies and different points of view. Also, the Cretes were known to sympathize and house pirates of the era. So it was almost kind of like a wild west of scripture. So this is what they're up against. Not only is it a young church, but it is a church in a almost Wild West setting. Okay? So that's basically the setting we have for what Titus is up against. Paul, a bondservant, that's verse 1, of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Again, these are letters that Timothy and Titus are to show to the churches, to read out loud to the churches, and it not only gives Titus and Timothy credibility, but it also says that Paul was an apostle and appointed to set these things right, set these things in order. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but as in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, the true sun in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. On one level, it does lend credibility to Titus, that not only is he sent there and given a mission, but it's not just Paul who set him there. It is God. It is the Father set Titus as an apostle to the island of Crete. And he was charged with setting up the house churches, that there may be order in the churches on Crete, that the churches in each house would be speaking the same thing, would be preaching Christ and Him crucified and Him being the Savior to all mankind. So there would have to be a consistency. And Paul setting Titus to complete this task. And the task was already begun, but Titus was to go from household to household and set up elders who was basically speaking the same thing, speaking the will of God, speaking the will of Christ and his mission of coming here as an apostle. So, in verse 5, not, verse 1 through 4 is Paul expressing the will of God for Titus and for elders and for the church on Crete. In verse 5, this is where it gets into the nuts and bolts. For this reason, I left you in Crete, Titus, that you should set things in order, the things that are lacking, to appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. That's Titus's marching orders. Titus is supposed to bring order and continuity to the churches on the island of Crete. That anything that's lacking, anything that is not of the Lord, that would be set right in these churches. In verse 6, if a man is blameless, husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dispensation or insubordination, those are the main qualifications again. And since these are house churches, the way the head of household runs his household will reflect on the church in his house. So, if a man is blameless not even necessarily just blameless in the church, but is he blameless in the society? The men and women around him who know them, and does he have fidelity, husband of one wife, and good reputation, blameless from the society around him. And really, the society around him, where I've been reading this, was again kind of a Wild West society. So if you can picture I don't know why this is sticking in my mind. A motorcycle gang who knows Pastor Oz, but can say nothing bad about him. That there is nothing they can hang on Pastor Oz or any leader of the church that would stick because he is blameless. Not only is he faithful to one wife, but he has faithful children, not accused of dispensation or insubordination. Those are the kids that they cannot be accused of insubordination. I was reading someplace. This may not necessarily be the beliefs of children. They may not hold to this creed. They're supposed to. In an ideal world, they will. But overall, they are to be faithful, faithful to the family, and not accused of any insubordination or
Dissipation.
dissipation. So, again, it starts with the household. If a man can rule his own household with without blame, he can rule. He has the qualifications to be an elder. Verse 7. For bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent or greedy for money. Qualifications of a bishop. That he is a steward of God's word. He is a steward of the church being a representative of God. And he is not self-willed, self-centered. He is living his life in a manner that is generous, in a manner that is self-controlled, in a manner that he is not easily angered. And not, and this is interesting too, not quick-tempered, and right on the heels of that, not given to wine, but it is almost a stereotype thing. People who are drunkards, who participate with too much wine, are usually violent and quick-tempered. So Paul is saying that that quick temper and that wine and that violent behavior goes hand in hand. So the office of a bishop or an elder is a steward of God, and it being a steward of God, he is not self-willed or self-directed, not quick-tempered, given to wine, and not violent or greedy for money. These are negative characteristics of somebody who is not to be considered an elder. And in verse 8, it kind of turns from the negative character traits to more positive character traits. This is who you're looking for, Titus. One who is hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word that he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both exhort, convict, and convict those who contradict. He is telling Titus, look for these qualities. Look for these qualities that being sober-minded and being just and self-controlled, you are able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to contact and to correct those who contradict. In both Timothy and Titus, Paul is warning his disciples that you're going to be up against a lot. And you, being a disciple of Christ, are going to have to be equipped to exhort, convict, and to convict those who contradict. You're going to have it. It's not going to be handed to you on a plate. You are going to have to be, if a bishop must be blameless, you are going to have to be blameless. And a steward of God, and not self-willed, quick-tempered, or given to wine, or violent, or greedy for money. These are, you're going to have to demonstrate these qualities in your life. And by demonstrating these qualities, you will be able to find, to appoint elders that exhibit the same quality as you are exhibiting. It is a long line. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, as I have the characteristic of God, if I have the characteristics Jesus in my life, operating in my life, which are not only internal but external. I should be demonstrating these characteristics in my life, And I should have these characteristics not only in my actions and thoughts. In like verse 16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Our lives and the things that we do should reflect, should be an outer, and a testimony of our inner being, our conscience, the way we conduct our lives should be a reflection of our character. And that is where we have our testimony that Christ's words, his faithfulness, his character is not only just being worked out in our conscience, in our private lives, but it is being worked out in our public lives, that we may indeed demonstrate the truth in the Word of God. We should be holding fast to the faithful word that we are the elder candidate who have been taught. So that we, excuse me, may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and convict the ones who contradict. And in other things is contradict in love. In verse 9, excuse me, in verse 10, there are many insubordinate, both talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things that they not ought to for the sake of dishonest gain. That is what Titus and Timothy have been commissioned to do. And if we are an apostle, if we are representatives of God in Christ, we need to be able to, with sound doctrine, to exhort and convict. That is two sides of the same coin. We need to be able to exhort those who are walking in the truth and to convict those who are walking in error. In this case, the insubordinates are and idle talkers and deceivers, and especially those of the circumcision, especially those of who taught teach the Jewish fables and the commandments of men who turn from the truth. Another thing that Titus is up against, maybe not necessarily Gnosticism, although that was apparent, that was there, but also that the commandments of men, not the commandments of God, but the commandments of men. It was, I'm just thinking of there is Torah, and then there is what's called the fence around the Torah, and many times that was not necessarily what God had said or meant, but it was the commandments of men that that exhorting those who I lost my train of thought. Hang on. Teaching, again, the commandments of men, and teaching the things of touch not, handle not. And in verse 12, Paul is going right after the character of Crete, that one of them, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." That's a pretty damning assessment of your fellow countrymen, your fellow beings. A fun fact, there was no wild animals on Crete. And their prophet said, Cretans are the wild animals and the evil beasts. So that was part of their personality makeup. And then in verse 13, he says, "This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Titus was up against culture. And being up against that culture, he had to be well equipped to rebuke and to correct false believers, essentially, that they may that we all may be brought to sound faith. This whole thing of correct, is a good thing. That's why Paul earlier can say, "Repentance is our friend. It's God's goodness that leads us to repentance," and that's what the Lord is after. He is after us to repent and to live godly lives. And again, back in verse 13, that testimony, "Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith. Titus is looking for elders that are once sound in faith, and being sound in faith, they can rebuke and they can encourage others to be of sound faith. And that is what Titus's marching orders was, and that is what our marching orders are. We should realize again these qualifications are not just Titus's qualifications or Timothy's guides for who can be and who cannot be an elder bishop. It is ours too. That is what we are looking for when we disciple people. Not that it is our job to turn people into faithful people. It is, first of all, we look for faithful people who can in turn pick out or identify faithful people. And this is one of the geniuses of the Lord, that he is looking for people in the society, people in the culture who can identify those in the culture, that they can identify a man who is blameless and a man raising faithful children, one who is not given to wine or violent or greedy for money, but who is hospitable, lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, and people who can hold fast to the faithful word that he has been taught, that he may be able, with sound doctrine, to exhort and convict those who couldn't contradict. Titus is being charged with looking into the society, looking into the home life of candidates, if you will, and make sure their home life reflects the church life, are the people who they purport to believe or to be. And again, to be have such a foundation in the faith, in the truth of Christ, that you will be able in sound faith to not give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who, turning from the truth, and again in verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. This is what Titus is up against, that not only he has to bear the witness, bear the testimony of Christ, he has to exhort people to have their conscience changed and cleansed. It is not just a matter of outward appearance. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you know, you're like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you look good, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. And that's what the Lord is after us, that our inner being, that our inner person, inner conscience, so to say, will match up with our testimony of who we purport to be. And really, that is the whole purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to not only make ourselves to have followers who are on the outside whitewashed and clean, but are on the inside clean, and not to have defiled consciousness. And that's what, you know, when Nathan, you brought that up about having those thoughts, and I suggested I basically told you know, when I have those thoughts, I lead those thoughts captive to Christ. So if those thoughts are led captive to Christ, my conscience is not being defiled. And again, wrapping up in verse 16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. There is more than just to confess the truth. What is required is that we live the truth. And that is what a person who is looking to disciple people, are to look for, not only if they talk a good game, but that they live what they talk, that that the people around them have nothing bad to say about them. You know, I think we've all been in situations where people will stop cursing around us. People will as Peter says, it is I forgot how he words it. But it's strange to people that you don't run with them. They know that, they see that. And that is a testimony of your inside man being witness, not only to your brethren and sister, but being witnessed by those who don't that they don't have a pure conscience. They see that and they acknowledge that. We all see it and acknowledge it, that you are different. Not only different in the things you talk about, but you are different in the way you conduct yourself. You are different in your private life as you are in public life. You have been changed. The outward manifestation of who you are is a manifestation of the inward change that you have experienced and that you have come to know in Christ. That conscience matches up with your outward actions. And that is what Paul has set Titus in Crete for. That is what we as believers in Christ, followers in Christ, we need to demonstrate that in our lives. That we are Christ's followers, and we are men and women who have a clean conscience and a clean mind. That doesn't mean that something won't turn up and, and go after us. All of a sudden we'll be thinking things that we not ought to. But when we realize that, we lead those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And that is something that we do. It may not have an outward manifestation, but if we keep the conscience in check, if we keep our thought patterns in check, that will work itself out to the outer testimony of who we are and who the saving power of Christ Jesus. So that is the qualifications. That is what Titus is up against. And really, just as Timothy is no wimp, Titus is no wimp either. And he is to set up elders, godly men and women who are blameless, who do not bring disrepute to the church, who, along with the other house churches, speak the same thing. Speak of Jesus Christ and him crucified and him resurrected and ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father. That we can all be equipped and having the Holy Spirit work in us the fruit of the Spirit. And if we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we will not satisfy the lust of the flesh. And that is what Paul is after. That is what Christ is after us, that we do not satisfy our own lusts, our own desires. And we need to be a testimony of of Jesus Christ, a testimony of his faithfulness, and a testimony of who Jesus is, even in a wild west town like Crete, even in a wild west town like our society we find ourselves in now. So, Titus has these marching orders, and they are not things that he has to do alone. He has the Holy Spirit there with him, encouraging him. And we do need to walk in the Spirit, that we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we are walking in the Spirit, we will not do that. Our conscience will be pure. So therefore, go and walk, excuse me, in the Spirit. And that's me done. So, Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word that makes us wise. And thank you, Father God, for your Spirit that cleanses,
yes,
the conscience and cleanses the body, that we may walk blameless. And upright, that our control is not just self-control, but our control is the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. I thank you for that. I pray that you bless everybody on this call, that everybody would know the joy of the Lord today. In Jesus' name, amen.